Friends, we're going to have a look at the third commandment tonight. And first, though, we're going to have a look at a passage in Scripture, the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and may I, in a brotherly way, encourage each of us when we come to church to bring our Bibles, whether you have it in the old fuddy-duddy ways like me in a book, or whether you have it on your phone or tablet, please bring your Bible to church and please turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 15. Exodus chapter 3, we're reading about Moses and the burning bush. Moses is no longer in Egypt where he was brought up for 40 years. He has fled Egypt, he is in the wilderness, and he sees something. And God uses this incredible vision, this reminder of himself, to teach Moses something that he wants to teach us too. We begin at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then, what shall I tell them? Please note these next verses, congregation. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Amen. Congregation, this is the word of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, in our afternoon services, you may already know, but if not, let me remind us that we are looking at the 10 laws of love, the 10 commandments. God, having set his people from slavery, brought them into a relationship with himself. And what he wanted most of all is that they would not go back to slavery. So he shows them how to live and gives them 10 laws of love. In the first, who to worship? The one true God. In the second, how to worship? That we do it his way And the third carries on from that as a, if you like, a good follow on what we're looking at tonight, the third law of love: you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So friends, as you look at this, it's all about a name, but not just any name. It's all about the name of God. And what I want for us for a moment is to think about names. If I mention Westpac, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Or if I mention Agfest or the Deloraine Craft Fair, same again, except for Reuben. He doesn't know what that is yet. But you know, because you're making associations straight away. And if I say to you, Reuben, you know, he's the new guy. He's the tall one. He's the one who's married to Sean and they've got this cute little kid. So what's going on in a name? You're making associations. And when that's happening to about a person, you're linking that to the person himself. So our question for tonight is, what's in a name? And the answer, lots. Especially when that's the name of God. Because a name is not just a bunch of letters. A name is not just a label. A name links you with that person, and you have all sorts of thoughts about them in your head, and that's especially true of the name of God. And as we shall see tonight, and perhaps you knew it already, the name of God is a beautiful name. And the name of his Son Jesus is the name that is above every name. And on the last day, every knee will bow to that beautiful and all-powerful name. So there's lots in a name, and especially when it's God's name. And that's why I read Exodus chapter 3. Not so much to focus on Moses, although he's a key player here, but to focus on the Lord and his name. Let's go back into Exodus chapter 3, because the big question is for Moses, well, what do I say? What's your name? What am I going to tell the Israelites when they say, who's going to send you to Pharaoh? And this is what Moses said, and we read it just a moment ago. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And that name is summed up in the next bit, the Lord. Now please note, it's all in capital letters. This is not a spelling mistake. This is God's unique name. I am who I am. This is Jehovah or Yahweh. This is different to the word Lord, which is spelt with a capital L and then small O-R-D. This is God's name, and it means I'm unique. I have an existence within myself. I never change. I'm eternal. I don't need anybody. I don't change my moods. And there's a whole lot more, but I think you get the idea. Now that's the bucket. L-O-R-D in capital letters, the God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And we're going to fill up that bucket. And we're not just going to stop in the Old Testament. So come with me now. Think with me, fast forward with me to the time after the 10 plagues, when Moses actually did lead the people out of Egypt. And they went through the Red Sea without even getting their feet wet. And they got through on the other side. They knew that this was the Lord, the God of their fathers. But they knew something else, didn't they? They knew that he was a God of power. Because he'd taken a bunch of slaves and he had saved them from what was then the world power of its day. They knew that he was a God who was mighty to save. And so they're starting to fill up this bucket with associations. Now come with me a little further. They've come to the Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, as we often call it, which is the very thing being referred to in Exodus chapter 3, the sign that the true God had spoken to Moses. Moses was up on the mountain, the people are down the bottom, and Moses was taking a very long time. They get a bit uppity, and they start complaining to Aaron, and Aaron gets them to take off their gold earrings and all that stuff, and he fashions a golden calf, and they bow down and worship. What is this God, the God of the fathers, the God who is mighty to save? What's he going to do now? Let's have a look what he's like when his people blow it big time. It says in Exodus 34 that the Lord is the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. This is a God of mercy. The relationship was in danger of breaking apart. It was an absolute train wreck because of what the people had done for no good reason. And yet God comes in his mercy and in his compassion to these people. And he tells them all is not lost. But don't treat him like that. It won't go well with you in the end. Now, can you see what we're doing? We're filling up the bucket with new stuff. We're going to take one big leap to Bethlehem, right into the first Christmas night. And we're going to stare into the manger of Bethlehem because the Virgin Mary has just given birth. And she and Joseph have named their son. What's going on here? Well, God the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, has left the glory of heaven and in the person of his son has come into the world as a helpless human baby. And he gets the name not Jacob, not Joseph, not Benjamin, but Jesus. Because Jesus means Saviour, and Saviour he would be. And we know that, and the apostles preach that. This is the only name under heaven by which anyone can be saved. It is a name that is loaded with meaning. And we know more, don't we? We know Jesus is our brother. Hebrews 2 speaks of this. Who's not ashamed of us? He's the brother who has come into this world as one of us and who has brought us into his family. He is the Saviour who gave himself up on the cross of Calvary. And in the language of Paul, he is the bridegroom who so loved his bride that he himself would give himself up for her. And he won her, he bought her at the cost of his body and blood. He is a friend who will never fail you. He is the king who conquered death and who now sits at God's right hand in power and in glory. And he is the judge who will return to bring in a new world where righteousness will dwell on the last day. We're filling up the bucket. Can you see what's going on? A name is not just a label. It's not just a bunch of letters. It has associations. And these come to us when we stop and dwell on the glorious truths of Old Testament and New as they speak to our God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And our hymns help us here. We won't sing it tonight, but we have that beautiful hymn, Jesus, what a beautiful name. There's a number of verses, I'll quote just one. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Truth revealed, my future sealed, healed my pain, love and freedom, life and warmth, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. And that's the call tonight, that all of us, each of us, would know this name. With all of these different associations, would love this name because we love the one of whom it speaks. that we would live for him with all of our heart. And it's not just us. It's everybody else as well. It's the people who never come to church. You know what I wanted to do this past week? I wanted to sit down with Brittany Higgins and I wanted to share with her, because she's a wounded woman and she's not alone. I wanted to share with her about the one who is the healer of hearts and the binder of wounds. I wanted her to know the beautiful name of Jesus, to know the grace that blows all fear away, the name that will heal her pain, that will show her true love and give her freedom from this cage in which she has been stuck for so long. I truly, truly wanted to do that. So what's in a name? Lots. And that's especially true when it's the name of God, or his son Jesus, or even the Holy Spirit. And that's why the third commandment is so very, very important. The last thing that our God wants is that we will trash that name, that we will misuse that name, that we will blaspheme that name, even if we do it unknowingly. Again, the commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. That's a terrible warning. But alongside that, there's a rich blessing. So I want us now to ask the question, what does it mean to not misuse the name of God? What is God's will for you in the third commandment? Well, let's have a look at what the Catechism says. That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. And then on the flip side, the positive side, it requires we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe. It goes on from there, but let's leave it at that. And did you notice, dear friends, it's a little bit hidden in there, but it's not just about our lips. It's about our lives. The third commandment is calling us to have lips and lives that honour our God, that exalt our Saviour. So let's have a look at our lips. Let's start with that. Lips that honour God. What does that look like? Well, it certainly does not look like what you hear so often today, where people use God's name in vain, where Jesus' name is a swear word, where it's just a stopgap, or they're angry, or they're emotional, or they're frightened. And sadly, sometimes we can do that too. Hard to believe, but it does happen. Now, friends, people may say, I meant nothing by it. You may have spoken about this to your workmates or the people you study with or something like that. They'll just think you're an idiot. But other times they'll say, I mean nothing by it. But that is the point. God is terribly, terribly hurt when his name is taken in vain, when it's misused, because he is a holy God. And to take his name upon our lips is to take upon it something holy, whether we know him or don't, whether we go to church or don't. And the Catechism reminds us, and it really cuts deep here, dear me, this has created some angst, at least for me, that we share in this sin. We are complicit in this sin if we remain silent bystanders. Friends, let's think about that for a moment. What can we do to help in a situation where people blaspheme? Could I suggest three things? For us, we have to keep in mind that the honour of the Most High God and the honour of our Saviour is at stake. And that's no small thing. If people drag my name through the mud, okay, I don't like it. But to drag my Saviour's name through the mud, we ought not ever to sit comfortable with that. Secondly, to pray for wisdom. Wisdom, so that we can take that terrible opportunity, turn it around for good, as a friend shared with me this week, and help them see that this name they take so flippantly and so easily on their lips, that that name is a beautiful name. And it's loaded with meaning. Because most times, they've got no idea. Can I just suggest these things in passing? That's one way we can use our lips to honour our God. There's more. This doesn't happen in churches where there's false teaching. If there's a preacher who preaches that God wants you happy and he wants you healthy and you're going to be rich if only you will be a faithful Christian, that is breaking the third commandment. And if any of us or our children are in a church that's teaching that, leave. Leave, because it will not do your soul any good. False teaching dishonours God and breaks the third commandment. So we in church need to be very clear that we always seek to preach and teach the truth. And therefore please pray for teachers and preachers. God will hold them to a stricter standard of accountability than others who don't. And we need your prayers for that. We don't want to make mistakes by taking that beautiful name and dragging it through the mud. And the third thing is a more personal thing. Can we look at our own hearts and just think about tonight? The songs we sang, the prayers that were prayed. Did you mean it? Was your heart engaged? Were you consciously, deliberately following and agreeing with these things? Did you mean what you sang? And when you come to God in prayer, do you come to him as the Father who you know and love and trust? Do you come to him as the God of grace and compassion, knowing that when you come in the name of his Son, he will not reject you, regardless of what you have done? His arms are open wide. He wants to receive you back, that once again you may experience his mercy. Do you pray to the God who has long arms when you have friends or family who are no longer walking with the Lord? The God for whom no one is beyond the need or the reach of his grace. I need to keep that in mind. And friends, let's think for a moment about the vows we've made. It won't be too long before Callum and Sophie are going to stand and make their vows to one another. And when they do that, they know and we know that they're not just standing in the presence of their friends and their family, just as we weren't when those of us who were married did that. We were in the presence of the Lord. So when you made those vows, may I ask, are you still keeping them? When your children were baptized, when you did your pro-faith, do you still live by those promises you made in the presence of the living God of the universe? And see, these are the things to think about. We want to honour that beautiful name. And so our lips are to be used for his glory and in his service. We want to say what we mean. We want to mean what we say, and by his grace and in the power of his Spirit, encourage one another in these things. But that's lips. What about our lives? Because God wants his people not just to take his name on their lips, which they must, but he wants us to live out the reality of that beautiful name in a world of darkness, which is broken, and show and be the light that shines and the salt that's salty and make the gospel attractive. That's what he wants. And that's why the third commandment, like all the others, is never just negative. It's always pointing us, pushing us to the positive and calling us to be who we are in the light of the love of God given to us in his Son. Lips that honor God, yes, but lives that honor God. And I say this, dear friends, because in the Old Testament, I haven't mentioned it to date, we just spoke about Moses and then later the golden calf. But if we follow the Old Testament through, they were to be a light to the nations. They were to show the nations around about what a real God, the true God, was. A God you didn't have to bribe by offering sacrifices and, in some tragic cases, giving your children in sacrifice. You didn't have to bribe this God, because this was a God of grace who called you to himself and loved you deeply and then actually empowered you to live for him. That's what God wanted the Old Testament people to be. He wanted them to show to the world that God was a father to his children, and he heard their cries, that he was mighty to save, and he would work powerfully and do whatever it takes on their behalf. He wanted the people to know that God had a plan for life, and it's wrapped up in 10 laws of love. And sadly, tragically, the Old Testament people were not a light to the nations. They did not honor God with their lips and their lives. They trashed his name. They misused his name. They blasphemed his name. And God was grieved. But what about us? In Lonnie, most people don't go to church. You do, I do, but most people don't. Most people don't read Bibles. Most people don't know who the true God is. They haven't got a clue that the name of Jesus is beautiful. They're broken people, as we once were. They don't know how to really live, how to really love, how to really marry, how to really work in ways that honor God who made us and actually are for our good. They don't know these things. And that is the encouragement tonight. The encouragement that we will be these people with our lips and lives that honor the God who has saved us and called us to himself at such huge cost to himself through his Son. Colossians 3:17, I don't know a better place than this. Whatever you do this week, every conversation, every email, every phone call, every text, every hug, everything, whether it's your words or your deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, the beautiful one, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That is what our Savior is calling us to in the third commandment, and he's doing that because there's lots in a name. It's not just a few letters. It's not just a label. It's a bucket. A bucket we fill with thoughts we have. And in this case, beautiful thoughts for a beautiful Saviour whose name is the name above every name. And I say, hallelujah, amen. Let's pray. our Father in heaven, our loving, awesome, and merciful Father, hallowed be your name. Fill us with your Spirit. Teach us by your word. Guide us by your grace. This week, Father, set a guard over our mouths. Keep watch over the door of our lips. Let our hearts not be drawn to what is evil, but so move in us and help us to encourage one another with lips and lives that honour you and exalt Christ. Have mercy on our neighbours, our friends and family, those who misuse the name of the Lord, the true God. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. And help us to help them in this. And to you, our only God and Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, now and forever. Amen.